here's a story from The World.
From Minneapolis to London and points across the globe, anger over racism, inequality, police brutality, and injustice are driving more large protests this weekend. To understand how activists see what looks like a moment of global solidarity, we got in touch with two of them. Siana Bangura is an author and poet and an organizer in London. Miski Noor is an organizer and writer with Black Visions Collective in Minneapolis. They've both been organizing and pushing for change in policing in their cities for years. Hi, Siana. Hi, Miski.
Hi.
Hey there.
I would just like to know first, what have the past 2 to 3 weeks or so been like for both of you? Miski, what has it been like for you?
It's been, an incredibly painful time in Minneapolis, seeing our folks be attacked and being attacked ourselves by police and white supremacists, being overtaken by the National Guard, and having so many of our community spaces burnt. And what we're trying to do is really build a city without police terror. We want justice for George Floyd, and we know justice isn't enough, which is why we've been saying that now is the time to defund the police and invest in community. Right now, what I was doing before getting on with you is listening to the Minneapolis City Council vote to disband the police department, right? So it's been hard, and it's been incredibly transformational, and it's been such a powerful, powerful thing to witness.
Siana Bangura, London has seen what's going on in the States, in Minneapolis. What have you been feeling the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Firstly, Miski, massive solidarity to you folks. So I just want to thank you for that. And in terms of how we are trying to express solidarity over here, this is a moment of reckoning. So in terms of how I've been feeling, for the past 2 weeks, I have been in a state of all sorts of emotions, quite frankly, which I think is fair to say for a lot of Black people, if not the wider global Black community, the diaspora. Whatever happens in the US often, if not always, has a knock-on effect on the rest of us. And I think, I have been banging on for the longest time. This is just a fact of history that let's never forget that the UK is the belly of the beast. It's the racist parent of the USA. And so in my country, people have a really big culture of deflection, of saying it's not so bad here, at least we're not as bad as the USA, and it's like, where do you think they learn everything from, right? And so we are now forcing people to take a really long, hard look in the mirror in this country. This particular time, if I may say, feels a little bit different, and I do strongly feel that we've never had this in the midst of a global pandemic, where in the UK the Black communities here have been disproportionately affected by the consequences of the COVID outbreak, right? And then to see that on top of that, in the same way that our siblings in the USA are also disproportionately wildly affected by the COVID outbreak, they are also, the police still have time to also kill you on top of that. And that is clearly unbearable. One big thing we've been doing is we're saying, well, actually, this is the time to reckon with the fact that actually this country also has a prison industrial complex, and this country also kills Black people. So we stand in solidarity, but want to use this moment to also say, actually, look in the mirror, the UK, your history is disgusting and you're not innocent either.
Yes, I think something that gets lost very easily is the globalness of Blackness, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that it's really important to even name just the history of what the police is in this country and what they are intended to do, right? So Black communities are living in persistent fear of being killed by state authorities, mm-hmm. like the police. And so what's happening in Minneapolis is not happening just all over the United States, but also all over the world.
We're speaking with author, poet, and organizer Siana Bangura, who's in London, and with Miski Noor, also a writer and an organizer with Black Visions Collective in Minneapolis. So, Miski and Siana, I don't know if this is the first time since the killing of George Floyd that each of you has had the chance to be speaking across borders with another activist in another country about what's happened since his death. But since you are both here now, what would you ask each other about where the movement goes next? Like, how do you each see your work benefiting the other? Siana?
Oh, I love that question. These have been great. I'm just really enjoying hearing Miski talk, because it just gives me yeah, it just gives me a lot of hope. You know, like I said, we are looking towards the USA, but also we're looking within ourselves and within our context, because it's really important to understand there are so many similarities, but it's not the same. And sometimes, in fact, often we get stuck on trying to do the exact same thing that's happening in the USA here, and it doesn't work because of the histories. But I guess a question I'm actually really interested in, Miski, is how are you making sure, I suppose, that you're bringing the community along with you at every step of the way, and maintaining that trust and clear communication? I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
No, I appreciate that question, right? Because it's a moment of transformation, right? We are not the same organization that we were 2.5 weeks ago. And so it's about looking outside of ourselves, because it's very easy for this moment for us to all of a sudden feel accountable to everybody and then let everybody down, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think, yeah, so I think it's about trying to not aim for perfection, but aim for integrity.
Miski, as you talk about community kind of based focus in activism, I want to come back to something you both brought up a few minutes ago. There's a recent history in the 60s and 70s of Black activists in the U.S. connecting globally with Pan-African movements, for example. Do either of you see that the full power of this movement right now is international, or is the center of gravity of organized activism right now at a much more local level, dealing with local problems?
Sam, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I think that's actually, again, a really good question. And do you know what? My instinct immediately is like, of course, this is international. And I think that's the bottom line, that we have to be internationalists with our vision. But I think it's not an either or. And I think I'm trying really hard to make sure we don't fall into binaries. Mm. On the one hand, we need to be thinking internationally, learning from what our siblings all over the globe are doing. Because remember, actually, we're talking, you know, specifically about the US and the UK. But we know that the impact of George Floyd's death has had ramifications across the globe, right? We've seen lots of stuff going on. But that said, also, it's really important now more than ever to be looking locally.
Miski, your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm like, you know, queer theory, both and, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, we need all of it. I mean, we see ourselves responsible to a larger ecosystem of Black organizing, right? The fight's going to look different on the ground, and our work is more powerful when we're actually connected to each other. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that anti-Blackness is global, right? And so it's definitely both and. This is local and global.
There's so much more to discuss here. We're going to keep on discussing it. But I just want to finally ask you both. I mean, personally, how hard is this? Like, how do you move forward? How do you find the energy to keep it sustainable? What's your advice?
Oh, gosh, this is this is really hard, because it's been so right. emotional. The first few days, weeks, I just felt the global grief, and it was super duper heavy, like on a personal level, and actually made it very difficult for me to be able to move forward. That said, though, I feel like I've been like held by the people that I'm organizing with and the wider community, and what I can see, although change is slow, but because I think this feels a little different to what we've had before, it gives me hope. And I would like to say that, you know, although tearing down statues does not a revolution make, right? But some of the things I've been seeing in the UK as just like, even, you know, some symbolic actions kind of lifted my mood. Like, I want to see more of that stuff. But also remember, that is just symbolism. But it's the kind of thing I noticed a lift in my mood the minute I saw that. I like seeing the people be like, OK, we're doing our thing, and we're actually going to be empowered. But I also understand this is like a lifelong mission, quite frankly. And I've signed up for the lifelong mission. So I think I understand that it comes with the peaks and troughs. So it's making sure that we all are clear that we're in this for the long run. I think that actually is a healthy way to move forward.
Miski, where do you find the energy?
Deanna's answer is so hopeful. I'm like, do we have a choice? You know, I mean, it's incredibly painful to feel the individual grief and loss as a Black person, knowing that this is how this system works and is intended to work. And then on top of that, trying to be organizing for the conditions in which this doesn't happen. And so what's really been fortifying me is I think, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons over the last 5 years. I have some real lessons about what it means to take care of our nervous systems. What does it mean to not internalize that? What does it mean to allow myself to cry when I need to and process grief and feeling to try to be inside of connection, to meditate. And I think like community has really showed up, right, in helping me to actually be able to take care of myself. I think that like joy and that the power and the winning and the engagement of my community and the excitement has given me a lot of life. And so I think all of the change, you know, Octavia Butler says God is change. All of that has been also really fortifying.
Misky Noor in Minneapolis with Black Visions Collective. Siana Bangura, poet, writer, filmmaker in London. Thank you both very much for your time and for this discussion. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And thanks. Solidarity to you. It's been such an honor to speak to you, Misky.
So good to speak to you. I hope you get to talk again soon. I appreciate y'all. From PRX.